You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Tuesday, February the 2nd, and happy Groundhog Day to you and yours. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings has launched on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively on BlueNile.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast as we were dealt a little bit of a curveball on Monday night as the Pistons were all set to play in Denver. That did not happen. And so we substituted a little bit of chat. And that's right, the best part of the early part of your week, we're throwing you an extra day with Brian. And it's going to be Tuesday with Brian today here on the podcast, talking trading cards. That's right. The trading card boom is real, and we're going to tell you all about it here on the show today. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give Brother Brian a follow, show contributor extraordinaire, B-Shook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan account is Play_Michigan on Twitter as well. But the Pistons all set to take the court on Monday night, about 9 p.m. Eastern time in Denver, and word circulated first from Shams Charania of The Athletic, later from Woj, and later even still, the Pistons pregame show, is that the game was going to be at least delayed. Turns out that it was going to be postponed for the night because the Pistons returned a positive slash inconclusive coronavirus test on a player. Later, it seems like it was all cleared up, and from as I tape this Tuesday morning, sounds like we're going to have basketball tonight in Salt Lake City with the Pistons taking on the Utah Jazz, and will now be the second of a four-game road trip as opposed to the third of a five-game road trip. The Pistons watching a little pregame film when they learned of the postponement, and all the players filed out of Ball Arena there in Denver, Colorado. So again, we'll keep you posted. Obviously, check up on Twitter about whether the game will actually happen tonight. It is a 10 o'clock game, so it is a late one tonight in Salt Lake City. And obviously, the Jazz playing real good basketball these days. One of the better teams in the NBA there. So the return homecoming of Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee that I was excited to watch is not going to happen, at least for now. And we'll see if that game gets rescheduled in the future. Obviously, this will be one of the games that the NBA has to shuffle and figure out what's going to happen. This is the 23rd game postponed in the NBA this season. If I were a betting man, I would say the teams are not going to get to that 72 game allotment, and that'll be chopped down some. How much remains to be seen, or if I'm right about that, and somehow they squeeze 72 out of it. So some unanswered questions there about the Pistons. It would have been a valuable game to lose. Would have been good for the L column, probably. Although Denver was coming in on a crazy schedule. I think they would have been playing seven games in 11 days. Had just played Utah the night before. So the first time that they were going to be playing a team on the second half of back-to-back when they weren't on a back-to-back. So a little bit of advantages there. But it's Denver and Detroit. We probably know how that would have turned out. But anyway, Brother Brian's got a look at tonight's game against the Utah Jazz. Like I said, sounds like as I tape this now, will be played. Stay tuned on that, but here's the brother with the details.
This is your Pistons game preview.
After metaphorically not showing up on Saturday night against the Warriors, the 5-15 Pistons literally did not show up as their game last night against the Nuggets was canceled. So Detroit is scheduled to play the 15-5 Utah Jazz tonight in Salt Lake City. Now there is a good chance this game too might not be played, but at the time of recording there wasn't any word on that, so we are proceeding as if it will be. The Pistons are led by Jeremy Grant this year, who is carrying a bulk of the scoring responsibility for the Pistons so far, and hopes that some of his teammates can break out of the shooting woes that plagued just about everyone on the team the last time they laced them up over the weekend. They are taking on a Jazz team who is atop the Northwest Division and one of the best teams in the league record-wise. These two teams squared off on January 10th. In that game, the Pistons lost 96-86 in their lowest scoring total of the season. Also interesting about the game was the Pistons were the second in an 11-game winning streak for the Jazz that was just snapped on Sunday against Denver. Utah is led by Donovan Mitchell's 23 points a night and is joined by Jordan Clarkson, Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, and former Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert scoring in double digits. Gobert also grabs almost 14 rebounds a night and is the centerpiece in a defense that ranks third in the league in points allowed. In their first meeting this year, Jeremy Grant and Donovan Mitchell each had 28. The betonline.ag info hasn't opened yet as it is up in the air if this game will be played, and who will or won't be available is not known at the time of recording. The game will tip off at 10 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket.
This has been your Pistons game preview.
Certainly a mismatch tonight in Salt Lake City on that 10 o'clock tip-off. That's going to be a late one for Pistons fans. By the way, on these West Coast trips with a team that is one of the worst three teams in the NBA, you are excused from watching these games if you don't want to. We're going to have all the details for you on Locked On Pistons in the morning. So don't worry about it. You are excused, and you can go to sleep early. Maybe watch the first half, or maybe skip the one game here in general. You don't need to stay up for all the West Coast games when your team is in tank mode. But more with Brother Brian coming up here in a bit. That's right, sports trading cards, the boom. Brother Brian's a part of it. He's got some insight. I've got some insight. And I know you got some cards laying around, so all you need to know about that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over, Brother Brian, and we are finally here at the week before the big game, and I can't wait. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Looking at the spread, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady as 3-point underdogs to Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs. The game number is 56, and that's a lot of points considering what last year's Super Bowl looked like. The Kansas City Chiefs are -166 on the money line, while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cash in at +146. If you go to betonline.ag and go under the props category, you'll find an endless amount of things you can bet on for this big game. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Back on Locked On Pistons here on a Tuesday as we're scrambling for content. So I figured we'd go to the bullpen and call in the righty here. And it's now Tuesdays with Brian. How's it going, Brian?
Not bad. How are you? Had a nap and a cup of coffee and then got all dressed up and nowhere to go tonight. Some bad news right before tip.
Yeah. So we covered that. But something that you and I have been batting around as a potential topic the last couple weeks, and it's getting more shine. I saw Bill Simmons and The Ringer actually started a new podcast that they're going to be doing twice a week about this. But it's about the sports cards craze that's going on right now. And I know, Brian, you've been dipping your toes into it. So I kind of wanted to have a little bit of an open-end discussion about it here. So cards are back. I mean, it's something that you and I as kids and teenagers played with and bought and traded and did all that stuff, went to the card shows at Gibraltar and Mount Clemens, American Legion and Royal Oak. Where are the other ones? Help me out here.
There's some in Troy. There's a big one in Troy still, and there's one at the Elks Club, I believe they used to have, and they still have one there.
Yeah, and then card shops when we were kids, all on Woodward there too. Most of those, if not all of those, are pretty much all out of business. But it's, you know, and people our age, Brian and I, late 30s, early 40s, that, you know, everyone was collecting them. So there was like no value in that late 1980s, early 1990s. And then there were so many cards that those are still not super valuable. They kind of go away because of that value situation. And I think a lot of the people who had the cards were like older guys that were taking advantage of young kids and teenagers and stuff in all those situations. So it was like just kind of a scuzzy thing, and then fell off completely. Then it came back a little bit, like early eBay. I want to say like early 2000s a little bit, but that didn't really take too much. But now, obviously we go to the pandemic a year ago, everyone's sitting at home and bored, and a lot of folks doing decently okay financially for a number of reasons, and maybe not spending on the vacations or whatever you would do with some of that free money or extra money. And now folks are buying up those cards or buying up the old cards or getting them graded and things like that. So Brian, why don't you tell us how your re-entry point kind of came in, as you're someone who's been messing with a lot of these now.
Absolutely. When I came back to the state, I had reconnected with a friend. I hadn't reconnected, but being back in the area, started talking to him more. And he had never really left the market, later in the 90s, later than I had. So we got discussing it, and he kind of told me how in this last year, the card market had exploded because, like you said, a lot of people weren't spending money on certain things. There was a lot of time on their hands, and people were looking for hobbies or things to distract themselves over the last 12 months. So, like a lot of people, there are just a lot of cards stored in garages and cupboards and stuff. So I decided, as a, you know, something to kind of pass the time, that I would collect all those up and kind of sort through them to see if there was anything of value. I knew that there were some things that were pretty decently of value, but as I got into researching these things, I found that, as we kind of talked about right before we came on air here, it's kind of analogous to this, you know, stock market craziness that's going on right now. And I don't have the expertise to, or the schooling to really get involved with that. But if this sort of thing's excited you over the last week, and you still are a little uncomfortable with, you know, the rules of the stock market or how that exactly works, something that's a little less involved anyway, without regulations and that sort of thing, is the card market. And it works in much the same way. And I thought something that I could do that would be fun would be just select people or a card of, you know, Detroit connected athletes that I think had some value and had the opportunity to increase in value. And what I came to find was just me coming into eBay or Facebook and starting to purchase those two or three now specific cards that I was looking for, I could really actually shift the market. Not a ton, but just a little bit. A card that I came into was the 2005 Justin Verlander rookie, and that was selling for $15, $20 on eBay. And as I started buying them up, and maybe it was timing on all these situations, but that went up to $35, $40 just in kind of the course of a week. So I started doing that, looked into Steve Yzerman rookies, working on Matthew Stafford rookies now, while still sorting through this old stuff. And I'll tell you what, Matt, I'm not being hyperbolic when I'd say there was probably about 25,000 cards that we went through. And 24,000 of those have exactly zero value in them. It was the other out of that remaining 1,000, 900 of them were $1 or $2. And it was those remaining 100 that I, you know, found some gems that, you know, we had separated and probably knew were valuable back then. And then I found a couple of things that, you know, players turned, you know, into better players than maybe was predicted when the cards came out, and that those cards started getting some value. So it's been really interesting. It's been nostalgic. It's been something that kind of takes you back and sees all, you know, relive a lot of these things. And also, it's kind of a fun, more involved investment strategy, I guess. Maybe you want to call it that. I don't know how much, you know, you're going to invest in that versus the stock market, but it's kind of a, you know, at least to me, a more entertaining way than maybe, you know, looking at Robin Hood all day on my phone, seeing how good a movie theater from the 80s is doing. So it's another option, and it's been extremely enjoyable, actually.
More with Brother Brian in a second, including what about graded cards? What are those? What does that mean? Sorry about my audio during this, by the way. Zoom call. I'm an idiot. It's a long story, so we won't get into that, but you'll have to excuse my portion of the audio for this day and also for part two of this interview, which will be tomorrow. But rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from your engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcast. Here's more with me and Brother Brian chopping it up about trading cards.
Yeah, you mentioned Facebook Marketplace and also eBay. I also wanted to shout out StockX, which is one of the Dan Gilbert's companies in Quicken that went public recently. It's been in the news. You've heard of StockX if you're a Detroiter or Michigander or even otherwise. But check them out. They're mostly known for their sneaker auctions, but they're in the trading cards. It looks like graded cards and also packaged or unopened boxes as well of packs. But I mentioned graded cards, and for a novice like me who wasn't thinking about this stuff for 10, 15 years until the last few weeks, tell us the process. What is a graded card? How does that work? And for those who are hearing graded cards and said, well, yeah, you got mint condition, and it's all in the Beckett where they have the corners, whatever, and that's how you grade a card. No, it's more intricate than looking at it right now. How's that process?
Well, I'm actually starting to go through that process right now. And Beckett is funny. You say it is still involved in that process to some degree. And there's, you know, from what I can tell so far, about a half dozen different companies that you send a card out to, and they have their inspectors look at it. Now, PSA and Beckett grading are thought of, just judging by message boards that I've read while researching this, as the most stringent and accurate graders of cards. So those are the places that you're going to send those cards out to. And it's about $15 a card to have them inspect your card and give it a grading of 1 through 10. And I believe Beckett does half points too. So I think the BCCG does half points on it. So it's going to grade your card 1 to 10, 10 being a gem mint, 9 being mint, 8 near mint. You know, it just kind of goes down the scale. And honestly, if you have about a card that's valued like on eBay and selling for about $35, $40, if you get that graded as a 9 or a 10, that increases the value about 10 times. It gets up to about $400 or $500 when you're talking about that type of money. Now, it's a little different. When I'm looking at the 2009 Stafford or the 2005 Verlander, people kind of understood the intrinsic value of that stuff, and it's newer. So if you're not going to get a 9 or a 10 out of those cards, it's not going to be worth sending those in. Now, going back to my Red Wing selection was the 84-85 OPT Iserman rookie. If you can find a 6 or a 7 even in those are still going to hold kind of a value because the card's older. It's tougher to find. I found on eBay one gem mint 10 of the 84 Iserman rookie, and that was going for about $2,500. So, you know, to find those are super rare. Now, PSA, they keep a whole catalog of all the cards they've ever graded, so you know exactly how many
PSA Eisenmans are, you know, 10s are out there, PSA 9s of this card that they've graded. Now there's different grading companies or whatnot. But my strategy has been kind of buy them raw, get a load of them, get a half dozen, dozen of these cards, pick out the three or four, because it does cost about $15 a card to send them out to get graded. Now, that cost goes down the more cards you send out. So if you're sending 0 to 10, it's $15 a card. Over 10, it's $12 to $13, and just kind of a sliding scale all the way down. So you really want to pick out the ones that are that you feel are going to get graded correctly. So again, the strategy I've employed is to buy raw cards, which means they've been ungraded, and then pick out the ones that look like they could best be graded. And what they're looking for are sharp corners, good coloring, centering of the card as well are all three very important things. Then they're going to go over the surface of the card and look for any improprieties there or anything, and they're going to send that back to you. And right now with PSA, they're saying it's taken about 4 to 6 months because of the huge volume that's been going on in, you know, sports cards. And you know, there's also a collectible part of it too, that you can get autographs authenticated. So it's not just cards that they're dealing with. They're dealing with all sorts of collectibles that they're authenticating or grading. So you send them out and then they come back to you, and it's like Christmas morning, because you're going to open them up and find out if you got eights, nines, tens, and how much more value you're going to get out of those. So it's kind of a gamble still in that sense, but again, you can choose the things you're going after. And I chose a little later or a little earlier than current time, just because now if you go into a card shop, there's just so many different sets of cards. And that's what kind of blew me away about the newer cards, is you'll have a set of Topps baseball, and then there'll be white border, and then there's every card has a blue border and a black border and a green border, and then there's a chrome version of this. And so it just got a little too crazy for me at this point. Not to say that I won't cross that bridge at some point, but right now we're getting started. My friend Todd and I, we're kind of just looking at unloading a bulk of what we have and then just kind of having some fun with the stuff we like and seeing what we can do.
More with Brother Brian tomorrow, including some basketball-specific stuff about what basketball card market looked a lot like when we were kids, in addition to now, where it's kind of the most like the stock market in terms of the trading card market for basketball cards, and also what Pistons Brian should think about investing in addition to the Matthew Stafford collection, Justin Verlander, and Steve Yzerman as well. So that's going to be coming up on tomorrow's show. Some late breaking news as I record this on Tuesday morning. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com story filed the ESPN. He says the NBA and Players Association are progressing toward an agreement for an all-star game on March 7th at State Farm Arena in Atlanta, a single night event that will encompass an Eastern versus Western conference game and skills competitions, sources tell ESPN. Sounds like they were floating this through the media the last couple days, and apparently the reaction hasn't been all that negative, so sounds like they're going to go with it for the All-Star game, or some sort of version of an All-Star game, coming up later this season. But this episode was brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.